ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। किं दुरापं महि प्रीते तथापि विबुधर्षध तथापि विबुधर्षभ मयि एकान्तमतिर्नान्यं मत्तु वाञ्छति तत्त्ववित्। किं दुरापं महि प्रीते तथापि विबुधर्षभ मयि एकान्तमतिर्नान्यं मत्तु वाञ्छति तत्त्ववित्। Vaishnavas, difficult to obtain, mai, when I, prite, satisfied, tathapi, still, vibhuda rishabha, O best of the intelligent demigods, mai, in me, ekanta, exclusively fixed, matihi, whose attention, na anyat, not anything other, mataha, than me, vanchati, desires, tatvavit, one who knows the truth. Translation, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is speaking to the demigods. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, A pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritrasura to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Amagyanati mirandasya gananjana salakaya sakshiram ritam miratasme shivirinam namo vishvadaya krishna vistaya bhutaleshi madhibhakti vedanta swamini tinamini namaste saraswati devi gauravani acharya nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhuiva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Translation again, if you like to repeat. O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain, when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Tattvavit, last word, tattvavit. One who knows the truth. One who knows the truth knows that the Lord knows better than us what's good for us. That's part of the truth. We may have different ideas, we may have different tendencies, desires, plans, aspirations. And that's natural. Even within devotional service, I'm saying. But it's a fact of life that the Lord knows better than us. Because the Lord, first of all, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He has been with us forever, since time immemorial, has been in our heart. He has seen all we did, all we thought since time immemorial, life after life. We forget. I don't know what I was doing in previous life. But the Lord knows. And he knows I'm the same person. So he knows the accumulation of some samskaras or impressions. He knows the anarthas. He knows exactly what kind of configurations of gunas we go through, not only in general, even every day. So he knows us better than we know ourselves. Plus he knows past, present and future. One interesting thing, because sometimes devotees think, well, if Krishna knows past, present and future, doesn't mean we don't have any free will, because Krishna already knows what That's not like that. See, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada uses a particular expression. He says, Krishna knows past, present, and therefore he knows also the future. So in other words, he knows the future in the sense that, of course, he knows all the combinations of possible consequences and directions in which we can go. But depending on our choice, then we will reach a particular destination, a particular future. But he knows, because he knows all the possibility. It's like if you lock somebody in this room, you know all the possibility where he can be, right? You can map it. Could be in that corner, in the corner, in the center here. You can map it. You can sit in the Vyasasan. You can map it. Maybe there are thousands or even tens of thousands of possibilities where you could stay. Maybe lying down, maybe sitting, maybe standing, maybe walking. But you can calculate. So you will always know where the person could be. And then when you open the door, you see actually where he is. But anyway, that was a sidebar. So Krishna knows us better than what we know, and especially what he knows is what's good for us. Also because he knows the best we could be. We may not have experienced love of God, at least I did not. So I know theoretically that the best version of me is a version in prema. That's the best version of me. All the thing I could do and all the thing I could think of, the best would be a version in which I am in Krishna prema. A spontaneously intense attachment, affection, love for Krishna. But I've not experienced it. So theoretically, no. But Krishna know how I look in that position. And therefore, and he knows what I need to get there. But because of a number of reasons, especially our false ego, a perverted identification, a perverted sense of identity and self-prestige, sense of self-importance, we think, no, I know what I want. I know how to get it. And therefore, we establish often a relation with Krishna more like an order supplier. I mean, we try to get him to supply our orders. And so we ask, we have all the big shopping list, all the laundry list, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Sometimes we even preach to Krishna. I want this because it's very important for me, because A, B, and C, we actually, because devotees are philosophers, so they can rationalize anything. So sometimes we do rationalize with Krishna too. If we don't do it directly in a formal way, at least we do it intrinsically, because we reason. I need this because this, and Krishna is listening. Krishna is smiling. Okay. So here, the demigods, and the demigods are even, actually, in one sense, in this particular context, outside really devotional service, in the sense, it's more a political request. There's this demon, we want to kill him. We are Kshatriyas, this is our enemy, we need to get rid of him. And after all these prayers, basically the conclusion is, please tell us how to get rid of this Vritasura. And the Lord is a person, the Lord has feelings. There are things he likes, things he doesn't like. And these prayers, he didn't like it very much. Srila Prabhupada says, concludes the purport by saying, indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. He says, Kim durapam mahi prite. It doesn't come in the English translation, but it's actually a rhetorical question. For one with whom I am pleased, what's hard to attain? Kim durapam. It's a question, but a rhetorical question. Kim durapa mai prite vibhuda rishabha. He calls them the most intelligent among the demigods. I don't know, because Srila Prabhupada doesn't mention it, but looks almost he's been ironical. He's been a little bit sarcastic. Oh, most intelligent demigods. You don't know? Tattvavit, one who knows the truth, knows that he shouldn't ask for anything. So this is a very, I would say, crucial consideration. See, materialistic devotees or pious people, pious tastes. This is the difference between a pious devotee, pious taste, and a pure devotee. Or by pure devotee, I don't mean somebody super exceptional, Paramahamsa. Pure devotee means one who is really focusing on developing the pure devotional mood. I'm not talking about destination. I'm talking about process. The materialistic devotee, the pious devotee, sees the Lord and he believes in the Lord and he knows that the Lord is the controller, but he's more interested in his own world. In other words, he has a situation. This is my family, this is my circumstances, this is my body, this is my mind, these are my desires. And the Lord, he recognized there is a Lord, and he may know he is in everyone's heart, he inhabits every atom, is in full control, full awareness of all his energies. He may have some theological knowledge, but he sees his relation is, you are there, you are the boss, Ishvara Paramakrishna, please help me in my circumstances. So he sees the function of the Lord as a blesser, bless my circumstances. So he's still a separatist. It's connected in the sense of basic information, basic knowledge, basic God consciousness. He's conscious of God. But he sees God as an order supplier to improve my situation. The pure devotee or the person practicing bhakti yoga very seriously is different. He sees that I don't have a situation. I'm living a dream. What's my situation? Past, present, and future, the Bhagavatam explains, is only a dream. So please awaken me. Waken me up. Wake me up. And give me a place in your situation. Give me a place in your lila. Give me a place in your mission. It is your sin. It's not my sin. Please, please. The famous song, Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Many of you are more pious activities than me. Never heard about that song. But there is that song, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Of course, that the mood was not pure devotional service. But the idea is, the devotee is knocking on Krishna's door asking, let me in. Whatever you want, but let me in. Give me a place. Give me a corner where I can serve. Maybe in this body, maybe in the next body, maybe in this place or next place. But it is your sin. And please allow me to be in your sin. Materialistic devotee thinks, it is my sin, and it's a well-designed, pious sin. You please help me to make it better. So it's a different mood. And of course, the mood is exemplified and demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the master of all, who says, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam Va, Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Jammani, Jammanishvare, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ahaituki Twahi. He basically exemplifies what Krishna is talking about indirectly in this verse. He doesn't ask for anything. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want beautiful partner. A woman for a man for a woman. I only want unconditional ahaituki bhakti. Jammani, even life after life. So I'm not asking, okay, I'm doing all this and I'm very renounced, total abnegation, total sacrifice, total surrender, but then at the end you bring me to the stage of liberation, Satchitananda Bhadi. No, he said, look, life after life, I want only ahaituki bhakti. So I was thinking during the Jayarada Madhava, how somehow we come here, in this journey, we come here today, this morning, first day of Purushottam month. We are here like travelers on the same journey. We end up for a few minutes together in this room to discuss pure devotional service, coming from different parts of the world, India, South America, North America, Europe. We have some devotees on the internet, some maybe on the radio. Few minutes together. And this whole thing is very deep. It's very deep because it's the motivation. And we cannot really know the motivation of people just by seeing, even if they are good devotees. We could say, like there is this expression in ISKCON, in good standing. In good standing. So we can see the devotees are in good standing. We see them at Mangal Arati. We see them at the Bhagavatam class. We see them chanting. We see them engaged in devotional service and so on. So we can say these are in good standing. But even then, we don't know what kind of motivations they have. Of course, we assume they have the right motivations. We assume, at least we give the benefit of the doubt, but we don't really know. Like there is a story when ISKCON Sannyasi was cultivating a very pious religious family in Mumbai or somewhere. And Sannyasi was very pleased because they were serving very nicely. Now, you can imagine top class hospitality, submissive, very, very cultured, very gentle, maybe very generous also and everything. So then the Sannyasi said, I'm very happy with you, with your family. All of you have served me very nicely. I really pray to Krishna that next life you'll be in Vaikuntha. And then they said, no, no, Maharaj. We don't want to go to Vaikuntha. We want to go to Swargaloka. They just openly said, we don't want to go to Vaikuntha. We want to go to Swargaloka. So obviously they were not tattvavit. They didn't know the difference between Vaikuntha and Swargaloka. They didn't hear enough. What's the difference between Swargaloka? Swargaloka, you go up, you come down. So okay, it's a good vacation, but you know, what's the point anyway? It's not a solution. So this is the point. We need to stop, and again, I'm telling first for myself, we need to stop sometime, or maybe the Purushottam month is a good time, to stop and say, what am I doing with my life? Because we may be tempted to say, no, we are doing the best, we are devotees, we are serving, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I have this service, I have that service. So we may think to, no, we are perfectly situated. Okay. Some of you, maybe all of you are, I don't know about myself. So it's a good time to stop and say, what I'm doing, why am I doing it? Am I doing really because this is the best, all the indication was that this is what's supposed to do, or because I wanted to do it, and somehow, due to my stubbornness, somehow I'm able to do it. Why I do it, what I want, do I want anything in return? Am I asking Krishna a certain thing, not knowing that he knows better than me, what do I need? This morning I was reading a page from Hari Suri Prabhu's diary. And there was this little complicated situation with Siddha Swarupananda Maharaj, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. strong personality, and there was a lot of conflict in that area, Australia, New Zealand. So then finally Srila Prabhupada brings him and the GBC, Madhudwisa Maharaj, in the same room, and he does some sort of mediation. The problem was that the Siddha Swarupananda had his own following, which Srila Prabhupada didn't take, so that was not the issue. But they were having all this philosophy like, no, we don't want to worship deities, we don't want to distribute books, and so on. They had their own philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada, and plus he was a sannyasi, but he was not dressing as a sannyasi. So many other ISKCON devotees were complaining, no, look, he's not dressed. So after creating this more harmonious situation, Srila Prabhupada tells him, look, to become more fixed in the sannyasi standards, why don't you travel with me for some time? He invited, travel with me for some time, so you become more fixed. And he said, no, I want to continue preaching as I know how to do it. Now, when you read that, you feel, you feel almost like cringing, no? Imagine, Srila Prabhupada personally tells you, asks you, travel with me. So, I'll train you as a sannyasi. And he said, no, I've got other things to do. I have more important things to do, basically. Basically, he said, I got more important things to do. Like that. So we got to see, maybe Krishna is telling us something similar, and we tell him, we got more important things to do. I don't know. Okay, we have a few minutes for some questions, if any questions or comments. Gitanagari Prabhu, can we get him a mic, please?
Hare Krishna.
I just want to hear your take on this, in that you quoted the verse, Dhanam na janam na sundarim, and then Janmani Jamanishvare Bhavatat Bhaktir Hoitaki Twayi. Then you indicated that that indicates that there's even no desire for liberation from the material world. And that's obvious. But then I always wondered, in the very next verse, are you not supposed to be with people? Can you speak clearly? Please pick me up.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, the English translation we use as a, we could say, geographical flavor. Now, place me at the lotus feet. So the general understanding or the general... Yeah. But there is more like, again, the sense that the English gives is more like, a physical transfer. You pick me up from here and put me there. At the same time, the Sanskrit says, stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. It says, vichintaya, you consider me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. In other words, picking up from the material life doesn't necessarily mean in a physical sense. We live in the material universe with the seven layers and all that, and we are in a physical body with a physical mind, and so you extract me from all this prakriti, and then you insert me in the paravyoma. No? It doesn't really say that. It says, okay, let me go beyond contamination and consider me as yours, as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. You please think of me as yours. So there's no contradiction really about the two verses. Is okay? Not necessarily. There are many translations that are accurate, they're perfect, but you can extract so many different expressions. I mean, Srila Prabhupada does that all the time. He takes the same verse, he translates different ways, because in each translation he emphasizes a certain aspect. Like talking about the Shikshastakam, for instance, the last verse, it says, marmahatam. Literally, marma, it's almost a martial art term. The marma is a vital point. So there are certain vital points in the body. If you hit there, you kill your opponent. So actually, word says, you may hit me in the vital places with your separation. But the translation we use is, you can break my heart. Right? What's it? I don't generally learn English translations, but what's the translation of the 8th Shikshastaka? Speak in the Bible, please. Okay, so that broken-hearted is the translation of marmahatam, which technically means he gives me a little, he hits me literally in a vital point, marmahatam. But it becomes broken-hearted, which is fine, which is perfect. Like, there's a verse in the, I think, the first canto, that the Sanskrit says something like, don't take it literally, but something like, the Sanskrit says, like offering oblation of ghee on the ashes. In other words, it's useless. You have to offer in the fire. And the translation says something like, beating a dead horse. In the Sanskrit, there is no horse, there's no beating. But the point is, there's the same expression. It's the same expression in English and in Sanskrit. In other words, do something which is completely useless. Because you beat a dead horse, it's dead. You can beat as much as you want. You get nothing. Like that. Like I heard there was a priest in Africa. He was translating the Bible. And there was a passage saying this particular lady had the teeth as white as snow. But he was preaching in Africa, in Central Africa. Nobody has seen snow in their life. Hanuman Prabhu, have you ever seen snow? No, you have not seen it. You're from Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. So you have never seen snow. Gita Nagar, you have seen a lot of snow. You never saw snow. And it's, I mean, you didn't lose much, I mean, I can tell you. But, so that priest translated saying, oh, his smile was as white as the coconut pulp. Because these people saw a lot of coconut pulp. So it's okay. And Srila Prabhupada, again, Srila Prabhupada himself gives different translations of different verses. Because what's the function of the translation is to convey the meaning. And so the meaning is conveyed.
This mic doesn't work. In that verse of the Shashastra,
I'm saying that one aspect we could say, or one aspect I understand, is asking for a change of consciousness in the Lord. Now you consider me yours. Consider me vichintaya. You think of me as an atom at your lotus feet. In other words, consider me as somebody who is tired of being a rebellious soul in prakriti. consider me, I'm yours, I'm under your feet. Like that. And then if Krishna wants to, that relation remains, obviously. The relation remains, either within the realm of Prakriti or in Vaikuntha, the relation remains. It's not a pure devotee in the material world is not less dear than a pure devotee in the spiritual world, obviously. Any other question? No. Okay, so we are almost at the end. Just a reminder, today starts this Purushottam Mass. I think everybody knows everything about this month. Huh? Technically, it's the month which is added in the Vedic calendar every 3 years. Because we go by the lunar month, and so they're not full 12 solar months. So you take something out every year, and then every 3 years you put one extra month. And this is a very special month because the Karmakandiyas, the materialistic followers of the Vedas, they think it's inauspicious. So they don't do marriages, they don't do things like that, religious stuff. But actually the esoteric meaning, the meaning for, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is that this is the most auspicious month. They even say it's much more than Kartik, something like that. No, there's much more than Kartik. Devotees generally relate very much with Kartik. They do Vrata, Kartik Vratas, they go here and there, Vrindavan. They don't eat sweet. I don't know why they don't eat sweet, but some of them don't eat sweet for 1 month. I don't know why, but they don't. Things like that. Things, they do some austerities. But this is even more. And so, we have been, those of you who are in the Mayapur forum, email, then you get a lot of information, all the things, the glories of this month. And things that you could do. One thing it is said, for instance, is that you take bath in Ganga is worth 12,000 times. 12,000 times. So those who are in this room and they are in Mayapur, it's a great opportunity to take bath in Ganga. Just like there are devotees in Africa who have never seen snow, there are devotees in the world that have never seen Ganga. I know even Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they've never been, in good standing, they've never been to India in 40 years. And many devotees from South America, they would like to come, but they can't afford putting $2,000 together and come. So we are here, Ganga is right here, 200 meters. It's a great chance. Of course, in Mayapur is always great to take bath in Ganga. In Mayapur always is 1,000 more. But even that is even more, like 12,000 more times than 1,000. I don't know how you calculate, because 12,000, 1,000, it becomes really big. I don't know if you can put all in the calculator. So it's a great option, opportunity. Some devotees I know, they chant more rounds. Again, it is always good. But it's an inspiration, 30 days. Now, instead of, you may not feel to say, okay, I chant 10 rounds more for the rest of my life, which would be good, but you may not feel that determination. For 1 month, you may say, 2 rounds, 6 rounds, 32 rounds, I don't know, depend. You know, everyone does some special austerity, maybe getting up earlier if you're not so happy with what time you get up. Anyway, you're all grown up, most of you, you're grown up. If you're not grown up physically, you're grown up spiritually. So see, if you want to do something special for this month, today's the first day, in 1 month we'll be gone. We got to wait another 3 years. Who knows if you're still around. So, best wishes for a great Purushottam month. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, pure devotional service Ki Jai.